434-1-790-266-4862. You can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Good afternoon. John Stout is the technical operator producer. Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock. Hello?
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Do not let that guy, that milking the goat, say that I talk your name with him, okay?
I will try not to.
Don't believe him, all right?
All right, ma'am.
Let me tell you something. Uh-huh. You believe me or you believe him?
Me? I believe you.
He
pulls legs just as much as he pulls goats, whatever.
Good.
I will leave that there.
Right. Let me tell you something, Mr. Johnson, that got me worried. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you hear this news about these old people being dumped at the QE.
Yes.
The old people.
The people who are being abandoned, yes, and left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. At the QE, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't understand how the system here in Barbados works, but I know in America, when it comes to patients like that, they are placed in a nursing home. All the information from the social service department that I worked with at one time, take the information from the family, and these old people, if they are pensioners, their new address is at the nursing home, and their pension checks go to the nursing home, which is their new residence, so they can be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience, because my mother was sick in Kings County Hospital, and then we were calling the social service department to explain that the caretaking at home would be too much my sister and I, because we both work. I work 11 to 7 shift, and she worked the 4 to 12 shift at Kings County, not as a nurse. I was a nurse, but she was in a different department. So my mother then was transferred to Kingsbrook Hospital, where we were called into the social service department and explained on what was to be done and so forth. And we consulted, well, it was only my other sister, the three of us, so we consulted with each other. And I tell them that a nursing home is not for cats and dogs. And since we were working, so mother would need to be taken care of, yes. And the social service department explained to us that Kingsbrook would be her new residence, so her social security check and so would be transferred to that office. You get me?
Mm-hmm.
So we did likewise, but we still went with our toiletries and everything and look after our mother. And one day the computer made a mistake and the check went back to my mother's former residence. So we took it back to the social security office where my mother was living and being taken care of. Good. So what goes on here then with these old people who are pensioners and so? Why can't the government find one of these buildings to make it up in a residence for these old people and people that are unemployed be employed? They need a bath, they need to be fed, they need to be taken care of, and the same pension that going to the residence or wherever, go to the nursing home or the social service department. You understand what I'm saying?
Ma'am, let me tell you what immediately comes to mind, because I know the place, and I have to tell you, to me, it's one of the most relaxing places in Barbados for convalescence. Something known as the place in St. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Where the nuns used to have a hospital.
Right, I was thinking along the same lines.
Ma'am, to me, if all the philanthropy, all the persons who donate money and equipment and, you know, these guys who have millions and billions that they like to donate to worthy causes.
Right.
A venture in that particular area.
Right.
Where persons who want to convalesce, persons recovering from surgery that, you know, need
Thank
to
you.
Be in a certain safe environment for a period of time.
Exactly.
That hospital is
the appropriate.
It was
place.
A hospital. So, you know,
right.
It ended. Well, we had all sorts of things done with it. But to me, that area is just conducive to that type of thing.
Right.
I don't know if it's noisy. No, it wasn't noisy back then. And the good, fresh air of the country helps with convalescence.
Thank you.
Rather than having them in the middle of Bridgetown.
Right,
somewhere.
Not crossing you. They have people who are unemployed that could give these people a bath, comb the hair if they want assistance.
Retired people of a certain age, too, who are still capable, who may want to donate some of their time and experience.
Right.
Yeah.
Gracious me.
Ma'am, it could be done. It just takes vision.
It could be done.
And it just takes a little bit of begging, I suppose.
Right.
It takes
a little bit of putting heads together and stop talking so much nonsense and get on with these things. It is disgraceful hearing this thing so all the time. And the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I tell you something, Mr. Johnson. A few weeks ago, I was admitted for 5 days, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I give my hat off Nurse Dwight Callender from A&E and from the staff of C9, especially a nurse by the name of Miss Branch. You hear me? Miss
mm-hmm.
Branch made me laugh from the time I get in there to the time I get out. Because when I tell her that I want for my dinner, for my lunch, a good hunk of filet mignon, she tell me along that Sandy Lane.
Well, she should tell you the order has been placed. The chef at Sandy Lane will deliver it personally if you just sit there and hold on.
When I tell her, no, that I want a slab of smoked salmon with egg benedict, she tell me, Gladys Radisson.
You see? And that is what helps you to mend.
Tell me about it.
That is what helps you to mend.
Those patients around us and the young nurses was laughing their head off.
Correct.
When I tell her that I want the smoked salmon, she tell me she ain't going to get some for me.
Look, ma'am, I have to tell you that, you know, there are people who complain, and rightly so, when they don't get good treatment. But there are those who would tell you that they are some angels in there, and they deserve all the applause that they get when they get them. I thank you for sharing with us. Brass Tacks, good morning. Good afternoon, sorry.
Mr. Yeah, Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Listen, I just want to make a short intervention here.
Mm-hmm.
Intervention. I think it was your first caller that was, when she called this morning, was talking about she has some
problems with him,
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I, matter of fact, I enjoyed that call. I was concentrating on the call more than my driving. And
Careful.
Just before the news, I think a gentleman called
mm-hmm.
and was saying that when he was young, he used to pass by these bakeries
and smell.
Mm-hmm. And even when you were talking about the aroma
mm-hmm.
of these nice scents. But mm-hmm. I only called to say that it's okay if you pass there on the odd time mm-hmm. and enjoy.
Yeah, but you hear I said so? That I talked about the scent of gasoline.
Yes,
because
yes.
I pointed that out. Yeah. If you
yeah,
pass
was,
if you pass in even, and you like it, you're gone.
Yeah, I was even calling to enforce what you said.
Yeah.
I think when you're living and you're smelling this thing like 16 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
it become a nuisance. And I enjoy that lady's call, and I enjoy the last caller. And I would like to hear more of those calls. Because to tell you something, I was waiting patiently until David Ellis comes back to ask me if he can't reform the program. Because I'm always trying to listen, and then I'll go and turn my radio off and I hear some of these, what you call the callers that call every day with the same. So.
David should be back sometime next week, I think. I'm not sure what date, but anyway. I'm sure he hears, sir. I'm sure he sees as well. It is difficult, as I tried to explain to someone who raised the issue about trying to control it from the production booth, where in association with John, I sit more regularly than I sit down here.
Yeah, I know.
The challenge sometimes, sir, as I've said to some people offline, is if they are the only calls on the board, what do you do? There are people who live for this. And
I know. Yeah. You know, it's like therapy.
It's part of their lives. And they
assume, and if they don't have it, I think they'll die. I understand that too. But you should see me turn off the radio every so often. When I hear these voices, like, I'm not going to call anything.
Yeah, I know,
But you know, I think Dave Ellis can do some reforming. And you know, can call 3 or 4 times. But let's say 3 times a week. But every day and twice on Sunday, it's too much.
Okay, sir.
You enjoy it.
Listen, I enjoyed hearing from you as well, so thank you. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Today is an interesting day. Yes, sir.
Greetings, my brother.
To you, too.
Greetings to all our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I was watching CBS 4 out of Miami. That's an American news channel. Mm-hmm. And we, the viewers, had the privilege of going into the Miami-Dade Police Headquarters. Mr. Johnson, when they show us the monk screams got in the cameras, and the reason for that was because first in the news it came up that they are boarding up New York due to the election. So the Miami-Dade Police Chief said, well, he's on top of things. So they show us all the different equipment they have to come to Crane. I just want to say this, Mr. Johnson. Despite all of those cameras, crime still persists in the United States of America. And sometimes the criminals are so bold, they go into establishment and look at the camera and go back out. What I want to say, though, is laws, cameras, crime stoppers, neighborhood watches, controls a person's action. It does not control their thoughts, or their mind, or their most inner feelings. So we need to reach the heart of people. Only yesterday I was listening to one of your sister stations, 95.3, where there was a collaboration between the University of the West Indies with History and VOB. And it was quite an interesting story about the fountain in Corey Street, I think the man named Montefiore. Correct. And I found that to be interesting because that station is a station that is not really used by people of my age, but I happen to be on it because there's a younger folk in the house. So I listened and I said, you know what? We can use this avenue to reach another side of society. And like using the history, we can also give them, like, certain, growing up. My mother always used to say to me, do not follow the multitude to do evil. I understood what she mean, but I never knew it was a scriptural verse because she never quote that. And when we were growing up, we were always bombarded with, don't do this. Don't get the beach. Stop kicking thoughts. Stop shooting gutter birds. We were always reminded of not what to do, especially when it comes to conflict. Don't let down Mr. Johnson's mangas, etc. So I was just saying, if we can use the media in that format to send a message to people and keep reminding us, you know, we might gain some. I know we ain't going to stop going right away, but I think it will have some effect. Don't you think so, Mr. Johnson?
So, two challenges. One, if a station is designed to be a music-only station, there's just so much talk you could have on it. That station was designed to be music-only. Now, the challenge is how you get the message across depending on who your audience is. And that's the challenge for programmers. If you listen to the advertisements on this radio station, I listen to them because that's what my job is. My job is to listen to advertisements. What I do between the advertisements is either talk if I'm sitting here or play music if I hear on a Sunday. But my job is to play commercials and listen to them. So, and 90% of the time when I listen to commercial, I know it ain't for me. Because if you got a commercial that got rap music or dub music where the DJ is shouting at the top of your voice over the music, you're not talking to me because I can't hear it. That's not how I listen, right? If you want me to buy an insurance policy, it is better to tell me, are you planning your future, la, 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 buy insurance policy? But if you come to me singing in some off-key voice, it turns me off. And if your voice not in sync with the music, I ain't listening to it neither. So here's the challenge. People talk about the young people stations and the music-only stations pushing the same message and messing up the children's head. So send them the message in the format they're listening to it. Send them the positive message in the same music, because that's what they're listening to. They're listening to the beat and they're getting accustomed to music. So you have to tailor the message to suit your audience. So you know, if you want to tell them lay off the dub, tell them lay off the dub in dub. If you want to tell them don't smoke the herb, tell them don't smoke the herb in dub, because they can eventually hear it. If you try to tell them in the Sunday, so we got preachers today in church, the rapping and dubbing and skanking out, because that's the audience they want to reach. But if you're trying to reach a 79-year-old grandmother, you can't be talking to her in rap, because 79-year-old grandmother know the Chuck Wagon Gang and, you know, Joseph Noyles and Sister Marshall. She's not right. Listening to, you know, Beyonce Knowles. Sorry, Beyonce Knowles. So it's how you program it. And you have reggae songs, you have dub songs that got positive lyrics. John, the fellow who is doing technical operations, is an upright, upstanding young husband and father. Younger than me, he got a beard twice the length of mine. He's listening to reggae music. Daddy Biggs too.
Yes.
They know how to talk to their children in a way that they understand, that's out of my generation. So he knows the positive things to listen to when you're around his children. Now, I can't tell you what he's listening to the madam, because, you know, they may listen to something else. They may even listen to, I know, Jim Reeves and Oldie Goldies. I don't know, okay? I just tell you that I know he knows the difference between a positive reggae song and a negative one. So trust me, they know how to get the message across if they want to. Just as proof of what I said about the lion, you notice he chooses love's a theme as his bridges and not and the other type. And instrumental too. Way to go, John. Good afternoon to you if you're just joining us on the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. John Stout, the technical operator, producer, the man in the chair. I'm Dennis Johnson in the other chair. We go until 2. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. You can call 434-1790, make your comments there, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
I am doing okay. I'm doing okay.
Yes,
and you?
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just reading my paper,
mm-hmm.
and I was at the centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just calling to... And I think when people speak on platforms and they are publishing a newspaper and they bring things that are incorrect, I think the public needs to respond to these matters. And I now want to respond to the issue here, center spread, in which Ambassador Liz Thompson make some remarks that which have implications for Owen Arthur and also for Anthony Wood. And I'm making it in because I want to just correct something here. I was in Parliament in 1994. And during that, between 94 and 99, there was a separation between Dr. Johnny Cheltenham and the BLP, and the government at that time. And as far as I'm aware, Johnny Cheltenham resigned. It was over a matter related to something at the airport, one of those agencies at the airport. And the record would show that Johnny Cheltenham resigned as a minister of tourism. So to say that Owen Arthur got rid of Johnny Cheltenham and that Wood didn't speak out then is spurious. Then the reference is also made to George Payne and to Liz Thompson, and that happened between 1994 and 1999. And the facts are there, because even in one of my editions of the Prime Minister's of Barbados, I made the point, and those who recall that time would remember that the Prime Minister said he was taking the stand at that time because he wanted to set certain standards of poverty. I think there was some altercation between Payne and I think it was at that time Mr. Roy Morris. And I think the same situation with Liz Thompson is something dealing with the press. And Onaf at that time wanted to stamp his authority and didn't want it to be felt that he was encouraging that kind of behavior to the press. Anybody can go back and read the newspapers and they will see that. I also want to make the point that I never saw Anthony Wood in Parliament during that 1994 period. I'm not even sure he was involved in politics. Anthony Wood first came to Parliament in 1999 when he defeated former Prime Minister Fidel Short in St. Philip South. And then Anthony Wood, he won again in 2003. So to suggest that Anthony Wood could have any persuasion or could persuade Oinath at that time to do anything about it is really misleading the public of Barbados. And it's in the newspaper. I just read it. And I wanted to make it clear that Anthony Wood was not there until 1999. And these matters happened before 1999. And they can go back now. You can Google it. And you can perhaps find the case where Johnny Charlton resigned as Minister of Tourism. There were issues that were involved also. I think it was Aaron Trust and the board and some things like that. But Johnny Charlton did resign. He wasn't fired by Owen Arthur. Okay. I just wanted to, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm listening to you. I said, uh-huh.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make that sure because I wanted to say this here, right? Mm-hmm. Students of history and political history would know that a lot of people who became leaders of their country suffered many defeats. Some of them suffered many defeats. And they changed parties and they've done all kinds of things and eventually became leaders. Similarly, in Barbados,
that has happened on more than one occasion, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. Check, but for example, Sir Harold St. John. He lost twice. He lost in 1971. Mm-hmm. And even after he was Prime Minister, the period after Tom Adams died, he was Prime Minister then, and then he lost again in 86. And he continued to serve down to, I think it was 2003. Mm-hmm. And we also had Al Barr himself. He, when he changed to the DLP, he lost in St. George. Mm-hmm. And then he was able to run in St. John, and then he won then. And I could think of, there are so many others. I mean, as you say, Fidel Short, he lost on three occasions, but still was able to be a Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. Of Barbados. So this thing about who's losing, another thing too, I want to deal with a sense of dealing with it. We've had people who ran in Christchurch and weren't doing too well. And I'm going to call names. Dr. Johnny Cheltenham. He went to St. Joseph and he did very well. Look as if he would never have lost in St. Joseph. He did very well in St. Joseph because that territory may have suited him. We've also had a case of David Simmons, who was in St. Philip
to St. Thomas.
No, he was in St. Philip first.
Yeah, I know. He moved from St. Philip to St. Thomas. That's what I said.
Right. And after all going under a lot of pressure, they're winning and losing, he went to St. Thomas, and it looks as if he could never have been beaten there. Okay? So, and we also had a case of L.B. Baffert going way back, joined single, double member. He could never win in Christchurch, but he went down to St. Andrew, and he won down there.
No.
So, yes.
Go ahead. The question that would arise, and this is where the expertise of people like my colleague, Mr. Wickham, would come in perhaps and, you know, put it. Peter would usually put this in, whether the swing went this way or that way and the type of election, because he would then put it into another context. But the question of someone moving from one constituency to another and being successful would have to be dependent on a number of factors, wouldn't it?
A number of factors depends. For example, St. Joseph was seen
as a BLP stronghold.
BLP territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a stronghold.
All right.
St. Thomas also had a few little changes there,
mm-hmm.
but it was more of a BLP stronghold than anything else.
Although, and let me say this, although quickly, because I remember once Mrs. Adams making the point to me that there were some areas in St. Thomas that Tom couldn't win at all, was how she put it. There were certain areas that she said would just not be favorable to the BLP. But by and large, certainly after his death, the St. Thomas constituency became BLP territory, more or less.
Yes, but then I guess David went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he consolidated. So David, he went in there, yeah. He consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
Having won, and he had time, his party in power, he was able to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of factors that contribute to whether a person wins or loses. And sometimes if you come at the wrong, when you're really swing very strong against your party, you can be a good candidate, but you can still lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some people should read the history of these things. And I think anybody who wants to be in politics really should go back and read about a lot of these things. You know, because politics is filled with a lot of theory, circumstances, and all that.
But putting this into perspective, and putting your call into context here,
yes.
Isn't this always a temptation? Isn't it always a temptation that on political platforms you get these types of exaggerations or skewed vision of how politics, well, I suppose, played or is played? Isn't that a failing of the political platform?
I think whatever you do on a political platform, because there's scope for banging your opponent,
mm-hmm.
but you have to find ways to do it so that it stands up to scrutiny,
mm-hmm.
it is correct, and also that you do not go beyond certain bounds of decency.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That should always be considered. Because sometimes
that's the one
that's
breached more often, so. That what you call the bounds of decency is often bridged.
Yes, and people who complain about last election campaign should know that that may have contributed in some way to the serious defeat of the Democratic Party.
Because
you have to be careful when you go out there and you're banging women, and when you're saying a lot of these things that are really out of place, especially when you really should be mindful of the fact that there are a lot of things against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are a lot of things to consider. But I don't know if people read these things, if they study politics, they study history, they talk to the older people who might know about these. I don't know.
But, okay, here's another consideration to throw into the mix. These changes, when you move someone from one constituency to another, is not always accepted by the person who's being moved sometimes. But
yes. In
a lot of cases, just my reading of it, and perhaps from your perspective you have a different one, it's usually done by political leaders who have national pull. So in other words, they know that they have what it takes to drive the person into a constituency and get them accepted. I will use Owen Arthur in St. Peter as an example. After he went in and there was the seesawing with Sybil Leacock, the Barbados Labour Party galvanized support behind Mr. Arthur, especially post-flood. Aaron Truss was made or Minister of Floods. People who were displaced were put into the then still under construction, not quite completed Haywoods project. And a lot of Barbados Labour Party support was pressed into the St. Peter constituency.
Yeah.
Arthur got in and he built on that on and on and on and on.
Yeah, let me
right
say
until
something
he left.
Mm-hmm. Dennis,
mm-hmm.
You recall that Bertha Hines was the Member of Parliament for St. Peter,
right,
from 1966.
Mm-hmm.
And it had become a stronghold of the Barbados Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
But then what had happened is that the Barbados Labour Party seemed to have been losing favor of the country generally. Because you know this came before their massive defeat in 1986.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So under normal circumstances, ONF would have won the first time
against the League Cup?
A round against the League Cup, because the Tide, before that, under Bert Hines, was going with the BLP. But because the Tide was swinging against, he was in a precarious position. Anyway, so having lost by one vote, and then the situation arose very hard, the flood, and a lot of help was given. And also, the point is also made because the BLP pulled everybody out to work. People who were in other areas were pulled down to St. Peter to work on behalf of Owen Arthur. People from Christchurch lived down there during that period. And also, they were fortunate because of the flood, because people, things had to be given out to people who had had their houses washed away, affected.
I am told that some who didn't have a house at all got a house, so yeah.
Right, so it was very fortuitous for Owen Arthur, because if he hadn't won then, the possibility is that he may have lost in 86, when a lot of people lost when he got three people.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would not have been able to do a lot of things that he would have done between 1984 and 1986. So he was lucky. Actually, I have written a book, my last book on Owen Arthur is a book, Owen Arthur Against the Odds. Because he had some things going for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to capitalize on a lot of things that went his way.
Mm-hmm.
But I could say a lot more, but I think that might be enough.
No, but let me say this. I appreciate your intervention. It certainly has made up for a light on the board, because so far it remains black. Let me ask you this question, though, okay? When you look at the political atmosphere today, when you look at the electorate today, when you have persons between the ages of 18 when they can vote and 30, the political landscape of Barbados has changed dramatically for those people. They would not have been around for some of the times that you mentioned.
Yes.
Their appetite for reading anything is low.
low, yes.
Very low. The opportunities to engage with people in an atmosphere that is not acrimonious or blindly partisan are few and far between. That's my view. I'm not saying it is the right view. It's my view.
Yeah.
It means, therefore, that one, the person you put to run in a constituency has to change. Two, the manner in which you reach the electorate has to change. Three, the era of those with deep pockets financing campaigns seem to come to the fore more than this thing called representation of the people. And I'll tell you why I say that.
I want to address that. I want to address that. Right.
But hold on. Let me just say this and then let you address it. The reason why, I want to tell you the reason why I'm saying it. The reason why I'm saying it is this. When you say you need to set up constituency councils, or you need to set up another level to get representation of the people, to get, you know, the nitty-gritty in the constituency addressed, you're saying to me that the parliamentary representative is not doing what they're supposed to do, which is represent the people. Now, when you go on the national stage, you suddenly lose either track of or the ability to handle community matters. Yes, sir.
Let me deal with that one, the last one.
The last
one. Then you might have to remind me of the other ones, right?
Mm-hmm, no problem.
The last one, well, in our context, a constituency is really small.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, the constituencies have become smaller when the boundaries were changed. There was a time, for example, you would know Christchurch East.
Mm-hmm.
I used to live here sometime, I think.
Correct.
And when it ran all the way over the hill, and it went to Lowlands, it went into St. Patrick's, and it went into Woodburn.
Right.
In more recent times, it cuts off at the road there by Checkmont. That road there by Checkmont, going up the highway, and it goes up to Charnox there by the roundabout, there by the small roundabout of the airport, and comes back down.
Mm-hmm.
And it only added on Sears Court. So it's really a very small area compared to what it was before.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that time, there was the double member constituency, where people like Bruce St. John and Thelma in those days had to be in charge mm-hmm. of the whole of Christ Church, mm-hmm. and they still got the work done. So I think an able MP will find a way of putting teams and having contact people in various areas
right.
to give you feedback as to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to allocate time to go into the areas, and then you have to know the relevant agency. So with the size of the constituency, you know, an MP who's organized can get it done. Not saying that you don't need other organizations in between there that will do their work, like neighborhood watches and other community organizations.
Right.
But the MP will find it much easier in this day and age to be in contact and to know the issues and to know the agencies to contact
right.
to address those issues and also how to build community activities
mm-hmm.
that will get involved with things like sports and culture and even like sitting there with the watches that help with the fighting crime and so on.
And that would stop them having to use campaign finances by people.
But yes. No, but seriously, but I found that perhaps, I don't want to call it a year, but I found that Richie, coming in more into the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
the idea of using the bottom end of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where they figure that you give a man money,
mm-hmm.
and that's all. So even for a nomination, sometimes you will find that some people will get some favors done to them by getting a few dollars or what. I don't want to go into that in detail.
Mm-hmm.
But money, which is at the lowest end of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs,
has become the greatest demand.
Has been a greater role
mm-hmm.
in modern. Yeah, I can't remember it being like that in 1994.
So I have to tell you, right? And to me, it is a challenge that's faced not only in Barbados. Because today is election day in the U.S. When I go online and read any story, because that's what I do. I read stories online. I don't look at television. I get distracted by all sorts of things. When I go and read stories online, almost every story talks about polling and how much money was raised by a candidate. That's what they measure it on.
Yeah.
The polls say A, B, C, D, and candidate raised $25 million today. $1 billion spent so far on campaign. And
yeah.
I'm going, really? And then you tell me that there are pockets of poverty. You tell me there's difficulty with low-income housing. You tell me that people can't get insurance at a reasonable rate. And you're telling me how much billions of dollars are pumped into campaigns in order to get the same people who ain't getting medicine, have inadequate housing, and poverty to vote for you. So something is wrong with the system.
Maybe society is becoming more decadent. it is becoming more decadent.
Yeah, perhaps.
And it's not the society that people like you and I grew up in.
Perhaps. And so that's why I always talk about the influence of media and how it thinks. I was just responding online on the WhatsApp to a couple of people, and one of the things they were talking about is the language. They were talking about the moderator yesterday complaining about the language used on WhatsApp. I said to them, our language, the use of language, has deteriorated over a period of time.
Yeah.
The way
instead of you.
Yeah.
Instead of you.
And then the cussing that becomes part and parcel of the narrative. Yeah.
But on that point that you were talking about use of media,
mm-hmm.
In more recent times, politicians have been able to use social media.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh at it. But I like the Zoom. It has become more easier now,
mm-hmm.
where you can use Zoom, where you can contact some people directly.
Correct.
You can have streaming. For example, I haven't gone to any
political
meetings, but I've been able to lie in my bed
mm-hmm.
and sometimes watch two meetings, shift from one to the other.
Right.
I don't have to go out there and all that.
But
I can stay at home and I can see it.
And we don't know which party you're supporting, right?
You might see my name turn up on both, but I like knowledge and I like to be involved in current affairs. So it is not a problem. So the use of modern technology has made it easier for a person to contact people in the community.
Correct.
And I'm not sure how many people are watching national TV because they have a lot of other choices.
Channels, correct.
So to speak about people having to watch somebody on national TV to see how they're speaking, how they can represent. I mean, that is funny. Because a lot of my people that I know, they don't watch TV. After the news is finished, they're finished with
They're done with that, yeah.
They're done with that. So I'm saying that now you have these different forms of social media. Yeah. People are using those. Then you can go through the area till you can stop at people calling about shop names, and this way you find people
gathering and talking.
So you go and you could talk to them there. You go in a village or a populous area, set up your system. As a matter of fact, you know, one of the people that did that first was Peanuts Morrison. When he beat Bree in 19...
they claim that's not what he did it, though. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I used to see the one that's street light.
Yeah.
I used to see them. I think Bobby Morris was one of them, too. See the one that's street light. And you say, man, what them on that street light? You actually got a real big meter down the road. Them on the one street light here, another street light up the road. But they were sending the message straight to the village.
To the people, yeah.
And then when the meeting is finished, they will go and they will talk to the people around. So it worked for him because nobody expected that Peanuts would have beaten Bree at that time.
No, Bobby when he did it too. But that's the swing at the time that I tell you Peter will talk about. Great talking to you, sir. It was a good convo. Enjoyed it.